This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Pod Media Reports and California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Anne-Louise Bardach, who is the director of the Media Project at the Center for Film, TV, and New Media at the University of California in Santa Barbara, and a few other things which we're going to get into. Welcome to Pod Media Reports and California Politics Today.
My pleasure.
Before we start talking about the substance of this interview, I just wanted to get your affiliations mentioned. What is the Center for Film, TV, and News and New Media at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and what do you do as director of the Media Project there?
It's a new venture, and our first conference was on media ownership and media bias, and I moderated the event, and our guests were Bill Keller of the New York Times and Lionel Barber of the Financial Times and Jacob Weisberg of Slate. And, of course, I write for Slate, full disclosure here.
Right.
And we had a very interesting conference, which was covered by C-SPAN and NPR, on media bias and media ownership. And I think the next one we're going to do is on religious broadcasting, and also we'll go into the blogosphere. And we're just going to kind of pinpoint, you know, kind of hot button issues in the media today.
Okay.
And see where it goes.
You also published the Bardach Reports. What's that?
Oh, I got to tell you, that is my website that my lovely students for me at UCSB have created. And I can't tell you it's interactive. I am not a blogger. It mostly functions for me as an archive of my 27 years of reporting. And it's fairly handy because when people call me up and say, can I have your Vanity Fair piece from, you know, 1988, it's easier than making a copy and doing a fax.
And how can people find that online?
It's just BardachReports.com.
Okay. And what do you do with Slate?
Slate, I've been doing the interrogations column. I guess we sort of created it at the very first interview we did. Interrogations are interesting interviews with very interesting people, and the first one was with Oliver Stone, in which I don't think he helped himself. And then there's been others, of course, with E. Howard Hunt, which got a lot of attention. And there was another very interesting one with Bobby Inman, the former head of the CIA, and more recently one with Ahmet Erdogan, the founder of Atlantic Records and the extraordinary music impresario.
So you're pretty well exposed in terms of getting your material out there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I have no complaints about exposure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of exposure of other people, what we're mainly going to talk about now is some investigative reporting you did that came out in August of 2004, and about which I interviewed you on August 27th, 2004. And when I read yesterday that Governor Schwarzenegger was involved in a conflict of interest story, I read it with some interest, and I'm wondering whether there was anything new in the story yesterday as it came out, apart from the filing with the SEC for a Mr. S., who was slated to receive $8 million, that you hadn't reported and that I hadn't talked to you about last August.
I'm puzzled about that because when my story came out, interestingly enough, the LA Times did not pick it up. It was widely picked up. It was, you know, talked about on NPR. It was on all the websites. In fact, it was on its way to being the cover even of the New York Daily News, and then it, you know, got too much exposure on the web. And as you said, we spoke about it. But yes, the deal, I mean, I think the piece was over 10,000 words long.
Where did it appear?
It appeared in Los Angeles Magazine.
Right.
And it went into much more detail about the deal with Weider. And I think one of the things that's missing in the LA Times piece is really the quid pro quo of the whole deal, which is that as soon as Arnold Schwarzenegger made this deal with Weider, his longtime nemesis, American Media, which runs all the tabloids, immediately stopped publishing anything damaging about his love life and extracurricular sex life and all that, all those allegations, and started putting out month after month tributes, absolutely phoning tributes to Arnold Schwarzenegger. So what I pointed out in that story is by making this extraordinary deal, he made an ally out of his most damning and most serious enemy, because, you know, the tabloids had been his ruination and, in fact, had cost him his first attempt to run for governor. He pulled out after the tabloids came at him with this affair with this woman, Gigi Goyette, et cetera.
You know, talk a little bit about the players here and their relationships and their organizations and the timing. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger, the bodybuilder and movie star. There's Mr. Weider, who wants you to tell me about him, and David Pecker, and American media, and these magazines, and what's essentially the chronology and the relationship among those parties?
Well, I think one of the issues was that David Pecker, who owns AMI, remember, he buys all the bodybuilding magazines.
Right.
And he realizes this could be a very lucrative franchise.
And about when did he do that?
He bought them the deal was being negotiated in 2003, and I don't have the specific dates right in front of me. It's announced around the time that Arnold is thinking he wants to run for governor.
Right.
It's really quite a brilliantly engineered deal, because for Weider, it gets him the most important person, the biggest icon in the bodybuilding business, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger, to endorse his magazines.
Right.
For Arnold Schwarzenegger, he gets to neutralize this extraordinary enemy that had stymied his political career.
How far back do Mr. Weider and Mr. Schwarzenegger go together?
They go way back, because remember, Joe Weider brings Arnold Schwarzenegger to America to enter into the big stakes of bodybuilding. So the two of them go way back. Now, the interesting point that I think is advanced by the LA Times story, and there are some terrific stuff, what they got was the Wednesday filings, which disclosed the $8 million deal. I think in my story we talked about the $1.5 million deal, and I talked about in my story the impact that this could have on the steroids and the supplements, which are absolutely the breadbasket for the bodybuilding magazines. And what we said, and what is now borne out, is that by having Arnold out there representing the magazine and in a powerful position as governor, he could basically defang those interests that wanted to eliminate steroids and supplements.
Well, now
the bill that he did veto.
Right. So in practice, there's a lot of horse trading going on here. But it wasn't from Governor Schwarzenegger's point of view. $8 million to some of us may seem like a significant sum, but he got a lot more than that for most of his last films.
The real
benefit for him.
Nice piece of change, though, Mark. I wanted to point out it's still $8 million is a nice piece of change,
right,
even for a wealthy man like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But I'll admit that too. But the principal benefit he got and was that this called off the tabloids.
The dogs. That's right.
Talk about whether he was going to run in 2002 in the normal election against Gray Davis, and how how his tabloid situation may have affected that, and how the deal that he made changed the landscape entirely for him.
Yes, I think that's where the LA Times, New York Times stories don't quite put the proper emphasis.
That seems to be talk about
primarily. It was about that he could not have a political career with the tabloids continuously running these stories about his extracurricular love life and sex life. And that is where I really think that's the real singular importance here is with that situation.
And what makes that important is that the mainstream press didn't focus on that as much as the tabloid press did, right? They didn't cover that story.
That's correct.
But the tabloid press did.
No. But actually, what happened is the tabloid press would report it, and
right,
they'd kind of launder it.
Right.
Once it was laundered, then it would end up in the mainstream press, which is the big dirty secret about how this all operates.
Right.
So basically, as I said, he neutralized these very damning stories. And remember, you've got to understand that Arnold Schwarzenegger in Hollywood has a reputation that absolutely dwarfs someone like, say, Warren Beatty or even Bill Clinton. I mean, this is a man who just had an extraordinary Lothario reputation. So there was a lot of, there was a great need to kind of stifle these stories from keeping emerging. Now, and they were perennials. Now, they were absolutely perennials in the tabloid press.
Now, was the agreement by American Media Inc. to stop doing this part of the written contract between them and Mr. Schwarzenegger at the time, or was it just implicit?
I don't think it had to be written. I mean, obviously, if Arnold's going to be their front man, which is what he became, then you don't attack your front man. If your man is going to be the guy who is going to advance your magazine and its products and keep the heat off of your supplements, this is not the person you're going to do a monthly attack on.
Okay,
happening before.
Okay, so let's see who's getting what here. The magazines are getting the imprimatur of the well-known bodybuilder and movie star. He's getting $8 million. He's getting them to lay off his extracurricular activities so that he can run for governor. What do they get in allowing him and helping him get elected governor?
What do they get from this?
Right.
They get Weider and AMI get this extraordinary frontman. Remember that he is the number one icon in the body business world. And they get him to, and remember they have an interest in the Mr. Olympia contest. But remember the steroids and these neosteroids and the supplements, they make up the majority of the advertising for these magazines. So they have the foremost person to be the front man for that product.
But beyond being just a front man, he becomes the chief executive of the state of California with the power, the legal political power.
Legislation, and this is an emerging issue because there's a lot of interest groups that want to ban these supplements.
And in fact, Jackie Speier spearheaded an effort to pass a bill, which was passed. What do you know what that bill would have done in particular?
It would have eliminated, as far as, I don't know a chapter and verse
right.
involving, you know, students, high school students from using them.
Right.
It would have eliminated the whole steroid, or we call it neosteroid, as supplements that can be sort of converted into steroid-like materials. It would have put them off limits to them.
So, in fact, it would have put a real crimp in the entire business enterprise of selling these products to high school students in California.
That's correct. But, Mark, I guess what? I have to sort of run into my next meeting.
Okay. Well, just say 30 seconds more to say where you think this is going to go now and whether this conflict of interest of supplement money benefiting the person who's stopped them from being regulated by the state, I can't think of a more egregious conflict of interest here. Apparently, his spokesperson says he didn't do anything wrong.
I think he's going to have to step down. I think the pressure will be stuffed to such an extent that he will have to step down.
You mean resign his relationship with the magazines, or you mean resign from being governor?
Yes. No, he'll have to step down from the magazine role. And he may have an investigation into conflicts of interest here, ethical issues, certainly.
Okay.
Minimally.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.